The gospel passage this Sunday puts before us a marvelous picture of two people very, very different from each other, who meet each other in an out-of-the-way place and enter into a respectful, gentle, honest, gracious conversation about faith. Jesus doesn't wait for the woman to come to him. He leaves the place of comfort, Israel. He goes into a foreign place. He goes into a place where he is not normally welcomed as a Jew. It's a strenuous journey. He's tired by the time he gets to Sychar. He sits down at the well in the heat of midday, and he rests. He has found an out-of-the-way place where he can be at peace. The woman who has spent all day working, now in the heat of the day, comes out to draw water so that she can prepare the evening meal. She too is tired. For her it has been a long day and a rather lengthy trek from her home to Jacob's well. And these two tired people sit down at the well, and they face each other. And what ensues is a conversation. Jesus asks a question. The woman answers a question. The woman asks a question. Jesus answers a question. Jesus makes a statement. The woman makes a counterstatement. Back and forth. Hour after hour, the conversation goes on. Jesus allows the woman to steer the conversation. Jesus says to the woman at one point, breaking off talking about water, saying, "Oh, by the way, go get your husband and come back." And she doesn't want to deal with that. So she blows that off and says, "Well, you know, I'm not married. I don't have a husband." Jesus won't let her off the hook, and he says, "You're darn right you don't have a husband. You've gone through five of them already. The guy you're with now isn't your husband." The woman says, "I don't want to go there. Let's not talk about that. Let's talk about the mountains on which we worship. We worship here, and you worship in Jerusalem." Jesus allows her to steer the conversation in another direction. And as that conversation goes on, there is something inside of that woman that comes alive. There's something inside of that woman that begins to move. And she begins to recognize in this person, this Jew at the well, something more than meets the eye. And so she says of him, "I can see now that you're a prophet." And Jesus goes on and talks some more, and she goes on and responds some more. And then she says, "I know that when the Messiah comes, all these questions are going to be resolved." And Jesus says to her, "I am he, the one who is sitting here talking to you." And with that, the woman is so filled with enthusiasm that she jumps up and leaves her bucket there at the well, runs back to the city and gathers her neighbors and says, "You've got to come and see this person. I mean, this person has told me everything that I have ever done in my life. Is it possible that I was speaking to the Messiah? And that on her word and on her testimony, some of her neighbors begin to believe. And they come out and they see him and they beg him to stay there. They want more of him. And so he stays there two more days. And the conversation continues over those days. And then we're told that other Samaritans also came to believe. And after 2 days, they were able to say to the woman, "It's not because of your witness that we believe. Now we've heard with our own ears, and we know who this person is. He is the Savior of the world." Well, I would suggest that that conversation, that meeting, that interchange, is a model. It is a model for conversations about faith. It is respectful. It is a conversation in which no one is seen as superior and no one is seen as inferior. They are equals. It's a conversation in which there's a free give and take, and a person can jump from one topic to another. It's a conversation that presumes integrity and honesty, even though there is disagreement and difference. It's a conversation that allows for something new to emerge. It's a conversation that gives enough room for something to develop. It's a conversation that recognizes all the answers are not in. It's the kind of conversation that does the faith service and is respectful to human beings in their hunger and their thirst for the faith. Well, as a church, we don't often hold conversations like that. As a church, we're more often willing to tell people what the answer is rather than listening to their question. A lot of years ago, when Chevy Chase was a regular on Saturday Night Live, when he appeared on the screen week after week, he had an opening line that was kind of stupid. It was, "Hi, I'm Chevy Chase, and you are not." Kind of a dumb line, huh? Well, I think, though, that in the way the church often deals with questions of faith, they suffer from a Chevy Chase syndrome. I am right and you are wrong. I have the truth and you do not. That syndrome is not a way of engaging in a conversation. That syndrome puts people on the edge. That Chevy Chase syndrome doesn't allow for mutuality. One is on top, one is right, one has the truth, and the other does not. Well, when the conversation can take place in a way that is open and respectful, then the Spirit of God can move. Then the Spirit of God can make a difference. Then it is a conversation heart to heart. John Henry Cardinal Newman had as his model, cor ad cor loquitur, heart speaks to heart. Or as the West Side Boy, Bishop Cowley, used to translate it, dancing cheek to cheek. When there's that kind of conversation, then the Spirit can act. And that's the kind of conversation and faith building that that woman experienced at the well and that Jesus modeled for his disciples.